You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. we pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today. Hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, that the weather is a little bit more accommodating for you to do it than it is. Temperatures have gone down. That's good, but they're going to rise back up. Because that's the new normal, family. That's the new normal. Sad but true. And it's all because of greed. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Also, too, you can go to the You can use the shortcut, whatever search engine that you use, put in babaoshi.net, babaoshi.net, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. Once again, this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and all times they're going to give our Eastern times. Tomorrow, Thursday, from 8 to 10, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., Mississippi on the Move, the Black Liberation Movement with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. That's from 8 to 10 tomorrow on Thursday. Friday at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an Awakening. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Time for an Awakening. And that's right. Time for an Awakening. And get you some African perspective. Yes. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tayemba is in Ghana. He'll be there till the 23rd. And when he returns, it's been tough because he's working and doing some other things, but we'll try. Because I know he has some good trips coming up, November 20th to December 2nd, going to Kemet, December 24th to January 4th, going to Azania, South Africa, April 4th to April 14th, he's going to Kenya, May 24th, April 4th to April 14th, 2025. Make sure you, well, of course you knew that, but hey. May 24th to June 5th, Ghana. November 21st, December 1st, 2025, Brazil. And, of course, everything that you need to make a trip of a lifetime is on the website. Go to AfricaForTheAfricans.org. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. Habashah. Habashah Incorporated. Habashah stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. And, of course, the great work that the Habashah does here locally, here in Atlanta, and on the continent in Ghana, especially with the Kashi Project. There is a program coming up, and it's October 12th. I'll give you more details. October 12th in Ghana. Ledge, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. Ledge has 12 different projects in 6 different countries with over 170 employed and over 260 members of Ledge. Ledge deals with the 4 areas of human necessity, human essentials, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. So these projects, of course, are ongoing, and you too can become a member of the Ledge Group. Ledge, Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. The Minister of Wellness, Brother Nathaniel Jordan. Brother Jordan is in Kenya, and I'm going to try to get a hold of Brother Ayo Kamathi, and his new book is out, which is The Jews Are the Problem Too. So we'll talk about that, and what if you heard from Brother Jordan, how is he doing? You know, hope to get him, as soon as he gets back on the program again. Brother, the Minister of Wellness, go to theministerofwellness.com, theministerofwellness.com. Smy Pharmacy, SMAIFARMACY. Smy Pharmacy. If you want to give Brother Jabril a call him at 770-765-7751. 770-765-7751. Smy Pharmacy. I'll drop him an email at smypharmacy@gmail.com. SMAIFARMACY@gmail.com. The Moses West Foundation, bringing you fresh drinking water. And of course, water is essential for life. And so, therefore, what Moses West is doing is, man, believe me, he's able to take the water molecules that are in the air that you don't see. And he can extract all the toxins and all the other stuff that you don't need and just deal with the H2O molecule. Goes through a filterization process, and then open the tap, out comes clean drinking water. You know, a couple of years ago, because they've been on that long, man, time does fly, doesn't it? Well, if you can remember, there was in Ohio, a derailment, and boy, did it spew out toxic stuff. You've seen black smoke all over the place. And I asked him specifically, could you take out the H2O in a situation like that? And he said yes. And I'm like, wow. So, Brother Moses West and the Moses West Foundation and the great work that he is doing to provide free, clean, drinking, usable water, safe water. We develop and implement atmospheric water generation technology to provide water, sanitation, and hygiene in solutions worldwide, ensuring communities have access to essential services for health and well-being. The Moses West Foundation, brothers and sisters. Those announcements, you know, if you want to give, please give. Yes, please give. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located here in the West End on Ralph David Abernathy Street, right up the street from where I live. I live on Cascade. Ralph David Abernathy makes a right turn going north towards MLK. And it separates at that point, and going west is Cascade. And that's the street that I live on. So I'm right in that mix. So Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, right on Ralph David Abernathy.
want to give them a call, call them at 404-444-1635. 404-444-1635. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. On Saturday and Sunday, they have vegan dishes for sale, okay? The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia in the Greenbrier Mall. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, figurines, gift certificates, and so much more. She also has the space to have book signings and presentations. And when I get my comedic piece together again, you know, I'll be presenting there again. This time with some video added to the situation. So, yeah, love it. So give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9, and on Sunday from 12 to 6. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located in Lithonia, which is east of Atlanta. Take I-20, going east, exit 74. Make a left. You were going east, now you made a left, so now you know you're going north. In about a mile, the Black Dot will be on the left. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore will be on the left. And check it out, Brother Gazemde Ajamu. He has a fine selection of books and all kinds of good stuff, coffee, and even has the delicious Cameroon Boyo. Give Brother Ajamu a call at 770-305-6373. 770-305-6373. There is light in the Black Dot. Jump back in your ride. Head back the other direction now. You're going south. And then, once again, make a left onto I-20. You're going south. Now you're still going east. And the next exit, exit 75, Turner Hill Road. Take that exit. Three lights. Make a right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. The brother who started the new Black Wall Street Market, he passed. They had a ceremony for him, and I'm hoping that the brothers and sisters will take up the banner to make sure that the vision of the new Black Wall Street Market will be realized. I'm saying it like that because, man, I tell you, you know, since it opened with such promise and so forth, there's a lot of businesses that just couldn't make it. But the bottom line is, family, we have to go out there and spend money. We have to leave Atlanta and go out there to Stonecrest. It's not far. It's not. Everywhere in Atlanta is a drive. And support those businesses that are at the new Black Wall Street Market. We have to do it. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people, every Thursday night, tomorrow night, the Thursday night broadcast from 9 to 10 on blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com/ULU, Us Lifting Us. But if you want to call to listen or call to give questions, comments, or concerns, dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, located in Macon, Georgia. Brother Abijah has got it going on. He's open Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. And if you want to give him a call, call him at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon, Georgia. All right. Sun Goddess Cynthia, one-stop natural shop located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall. And it's booth number 225. Give my sister Shelly Amundset a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop. Sister Gabrielle Rilla, the job that she's doing, the work that she's doing, is highly commendable. She's in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti, near the Haiti and Dominican border. and working with those beautiful children when you go to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E, dash, Haiti. That's how you pronounce Haiti. It's not Haiti. Haiti. No, it's Haiti. A-Y-I-T-I.org. Sanjay-Haiti.org. All right. Akabin Institute and Baba Baruti, they're about to start school again, and you know, and they have a whole bunch of programs. Let me run down those while we're on the computer here. He has a course, Awe, and the lecture series begins. It begins Wednesday, August 7th. So every Wednesday, August 7th through the 28th at 7:30 to 9. For the course, it's $60 for adults and youth and teens is $35 for the course. Yes. And so just as I say all the time, you put the information in, IWA, your name, your email address so they can send you the link. Okay? All right, family. Common Sense Security. Papa Broody is doing another workshop on Common Sense Security in September. Saturday, September 14th from 4 to 7. So we'll give you that information as that comes about. So just keep that, mark your calendars. Common Sense Security, Saturday, September 14th. And then Kibuka, mark your calendars again for Saturday, November 16th from 6 to 9. Kibuka, remembering the middle passage through the eyes of our ancestors. Kibuka. Okay. And coming up very soon, August 3rd, is Sister Circle with Sister Mama Inya. Inya Baruti. Topic, Embracing African Femininity. And donation is $12 for adults and $6 for youth. If you want further information, call Mama Ya at 404-753-7237. 404-753-7237. And then Peerless, Men's Quarterly, a statement in honor of African men. Baba Baruti, it's going to be Saturday, August 10th. Saturday, August 10th. I'll be just getting back from Miami, man. So I'll be missing that. A lot of things I've been missing, but hey. Also, two brothers and sisters, Baba Baruti sent this out, African Corps, Brother Damani Aquil, who's been on this program, who is just a dynamic brother. He sent this out where you can call handyhands.atl@gmail.com. handyhands.atl@gmail.com. And there's a phone number for free quotes, 404-981-7691. 404-981-7691. Dealing with plumbing issues you have, electricity that you probably may have with that. Painting and drywall, you want to get a quote. Light fixtures that you have an issue with. Door installations and repair. TV mounting. Issue with smartphones. Audiovisual systems installation. Home window tinting. Wi-Fi router information. Self-installations, furniture assembly, whatever it is, home, handyhands.atl, handyhands.atl@gmail.com. All right, family. And this Saturday, not just Saturday, Saturday, August 3rd, the same day Mama Yah has her program on femininity, A Warrior's Character, Baba Baruti has his program, and that's at 5:30 on Saturday, August 3rd. Saturday, August 3rd. All right. And Saturday, August 20th, a healing event, African men and women releasing our pain and healing together. That'll be led by Baba Baruti and Mama Inia. Saturday, July 20th, from 2 to 5 Eastern Time, from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. It's going to be in person at the House of Ogun, 4720 Bryce Drive in Union City, Georgia. Couples, $50. Individuals, $30. All right. So, let's get some more Baruti here with the Inya Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inya Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. July 16th. One of the main tasks of African consciousness is to affirm the beauty of our Africanness, to see beauty in African skin, in thick lips and broad noses and kinky hair, to rid our vocabulary of good hair, bad hair, high yellow, and our medicine cabinets of bleaching cream. To de-niggerize ourselves is a key task of African consciousness. To de-niggerize ourselves is a key task of African consciousness. John O. Killens. Wanchirugu steered us to look for everything of significance outside of ourselves. They became able to manipulate and control everything defining us and all of the reality from within ourselves. They have worked hard at making us police ourselves from within, and as they should and would. And nothing that credit should be given where credit is due. They have succeeded magnificently beyond even their wildest imagination. Most of us have become totally lost in them. Most of us are in hurried flight from every meaningful aspect of ourselves, which has possibilities of righteously guiding and empowering us. But most of us is not all. Let me repeat. But most of us is not all. And it is obvious to even those blinded by alien lights that Urugu has failed miserably with a good number of us. Some of us have moved beyond the pale of cultural malnourishment, misorientation, and misalignment. We know us because we have faithfully followed the social, cultural, and the acelic guidance of our warrior ancestors and found our way home. We constitute those deeply self-loving Africans who constitute the center of our front line. We are those of us who consciously see, feel, and adorn every melanated gene of our spiritual Africanness within our Africanness. We are those of us who know just how physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually beautiful we are. We are those who know that despite all of the lies Urugu has committed against us, we remain a divinely beautiful people. Ashe, 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 oh. Affirm. All of my preferences are African. I know that's right. I affirm all my preferences are African. July 17th. American society was built on the spirit of helpfulness. G.K. Osei. Every one of our true communities has at least one person who is consistently exceptional in serving it from the heart. Everywhere we live, you are going to find someone who will, altruistically, without giving it a first or second thought, take in the babies, make sure that there's enough food and that everyone is fed, and stand between danger and the innocent. Every one of our true communities has someone who finds a way to give when no one else is willing or able. These are the kinds of sacrificial persons who are historically formed the social glue of African society. As living epitomes of African spirit of helpfulness, such persons still selflessness, willing to give or assist the many they see as being in some form of need just because it is the right thing to do. Some of us cannot understand their communal value to us or the spirit of the tradition which nurtured them into placing people above things and happiness beyond pleasure. They cannot understand giving for the sake of giving and the inner spiritual joy brought by doing things for others. And this is understandable in an intensely material. This is understandable and materially in an intensely materialistic society and culture where receiving is much more valued than giving, and the mindless accumulation of glorified well over sharing. This is why hoarding is the automatic response to any threat of scarcity. A hoarding reaction is not because of what may not become available, but because of the fear of others hoarding and making it so. Urugu knows Urugu, and those who are culturally victimized by them flatter them through imitating the selfless, extremely individualistic, xenophobic, psychotic fears that brought with them from the cave. Affirm, I generously assist my community without expectation of return. Ashe. I generally assist my community without expectation of return. Do it because it is the right thing to do. Do it because I want to help African people the best and the most positive way that I can. Always. Help us. Help African people. Always. Yeah, today I'm going to, people send me stuff, so I'm going to look at some of these archives that I have, what people have sent me. And then I'm going to, talk about that and ask you to join the conversation, if you will, you know. So we're going to play some of these. I'm going to play this one right quick. This is, there's been a whole bunch on this Trump thing. You know, people showing angles and so forth, how it is a setup, how it is bull. And I believe it is. I believe that it is. I really do. It's bull. Man, this man is unbelievable. Unbelievable. P.T. Barnum, the Barnum and Bailey Circus. And one of his quotes is, a sucker born every minute. And he was always putting on shows. He's a circus. He has acts, you know. Some of them were real, some of them were not. But he realized there's a sucker born every minute, so I can put on an act that'll fool you, you know. Yeah. I'm going to play this one. This was sent to me by my good brother. Brother Jim Wimbush, Rachel Maddow. Yeah. First, she warns us of Project 225. Now, since this thing, have you heard anything about Project 225? Have they said anything? I don't watch the Republican National Convention, and I show now I ain't gonna watch the Democratic National Convention. But have they said, now the Democratic National Convention gonna be saying a lot about 225, but has the Republicans said anything about 225? No, not that I know of. Haven't seen it. Any news piece? I mean, I watch the news. I have to watch the news. I gotta stay abreast and current, so to speak. So I do watch the news, but I haven't seen anything. But this is Rachel Maddow.
When Donald Trump won the election in 2016, fair and square, he said it was rigged. Right. He won the Republican primaries. He said they were rigged. He ran for re-election in 2020. Before the election, he said it was rigged. Mm-hmm. Then when he lost the election, he said it was rigged. He does not like elections. He does not like voting as a system by which we decide who's going to be the president.
Yeah, right.
When he was running for re-election in 2020, the Republican Party decided they were no longer going to have a platform. They abolished their platform and said, our new platform is whatever Donald Trump wants, we're for that.
That's right.
So if you don't stand for anything other than what he wants, you don't vote, you just put him in power.
Yeah.
And once he's there, nobody is allowed to disagree with him or say anything that he doesn't believe.
And what is that called?
That is what a lot of other countries all around the world have, and it is not democracy.
Yeah.
And so he's trying to get rid of the American system of government, and that means getting rid of a government that does anything other than serve him. And that's what Project 2025 is all about.
Yeah, because he wants to be a dictator. That's what Whoopi was asking for. That was from The View. When she was on The View. I'm going to play this one. I'm going to be bouncing back and forth on ones that I want to discuss. And I'm definitely going to go to Kwame Nkrumah. You know, I love Kwame Nkrumah. Yeah, I do. I love Kwame Nkrumah. Yeah. Yep, so here's Rachel Maddow again. And this is interesting.
Not understanding how old 81 years old looks sometimes is maybe a Democratic Party mistake. But Democrats are not the party that picked the guy whose charity was shut down as a fraud, whose fake university was shut down as a fraud, whose business was convicted on multiple felony fraud counts, whose CFO is quite literally in jail, who had one personal lawyer put in prison and the other has lost his law license, who has been charged under the Espionage Act for whatever this is that he was doing with highly classified documents, including, reportedly, nuclear secrets, who was found liable by a jury for sexual assault, who has been charged with more than a dozen felonies under a RICO indictment in the state of Georgia, and who really has been found guilty by another jury of 30-plus felonies for which he is now awaiting a possible prison sentence. That's who you guys picked. I love that the worry in this instance is that the Democrats might have made a bad choice for their nominee. Only in America. It's true that not understanding...
Yeah. Only in America. Only in America. And a criminal who's a felon who can't vote but can run for president. He can't vote. He can't even vote for himself, but he can run for president. And when he becomes president, if he can pardon himself from all the things that have happened. He can pardon himself from all the things that have happened. You see, the judge who he appointed have excused the boxes down in Mar-a-Lago. All that information, all the secrets, all the stuff that he was going to sell. That's, oh, man. That's it. Yeah, she excused him. With prejudice, I think she said. With prejudice. Man. And he's going. And so if he gets elected, he's going to get out of this. All of it. He'll be pardoned from all of it. I wonder how objective. See, I think that's the thing about this society, which for me, I've never recognized it as objective, as honest, as truth. No. No. Never recognized since coming of age in the 60s. Since be seriously starting to reawakening in the 70s. And more really important in the 80s when I was on the fire department, when I had opportunity to sit at the firehouse and read. I remember, you know, reading some stuff and believing what I was reading until I started to be more objective in my reading, and to embrace Pan-Africanism, embrace being African. So you get a different perspective, you get a different outlook. Because prior to that, you believe that somehow, some way, things are going to be okay, that Caucasians will somehow recognize our humanity and our suffering and how redemptive it is, and they will excuse us and we'll be part and parcel of society. There'll be sharings. Stop it. Stop it, family. But yet, there's a vast majority, and I hate to use that term, a vast majority of our people that still believe it. Those of us who think like us, family, we're on a fringe. That's just being real. As bad as I hate to say it. But damn it, we continue on. Because you never know when some of us begin to wake up. When you begin to wake up, we here. We ain't going nowhere. Oh, I mean, where we going, though, is home. We ain't going nowhere. No, we going home. Especially if that shit happens. If Donald Trump is elected, there has to be a exodus. There has to be. There has to be an exodus. And the Negroes that you see, oh, man. Tim Scott, oh wow. There's some other cats, at least they had, you know, they're voicing their mouthpieces for him. But at least they ain't cooning. They ain't cooning. This cat is. Oh man. Yeah. Truly one of the great leaders of us as a people is Kwame Nkrumah. You know, Kwame Nkrumah, let me play some Kwame Nkrumah for you. I love Kwame Nkrumah. Love Kwame Nkrumah. Excuse me, family. Here's a couple of pieces. He's being interviewed, and I'm going to read a couple of pieces because he was the first of the African leaders. Ghana was the first country to gain separation from colonizer, from Britain. And understand something, family. Then and today, they're doing all that they can not to have these countries and have Africa free and independent and in control of its resources. I played the piece before you talking about that, particularly Howard Nicholas and his other piece about why Africa must remain in control of the Europeans. But for now, more than ever, we as African people must take control of our lives, because the people who we see, particularly if you were in America, but even at that, you will see them. They are trying to eliminate us. They are trying to eliminate us. Kwame Nkrumah. This is what he said. In 1961, remember, 1957, Ghana gained its independence. In 1961, at the Speech of Freedom, he says, "I believe strongly and sincerely that with the deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage. The African culture, united under one federal government, will emerge not just as another world block to flaunt its wealth and strength, but has a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear and envy and suspicion, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on the hope, trust, and friendship, and directed to the good of all mankind. After having gone through that, some years later, he says, if we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling amongst ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we had suffered heretofore. And you see that happening. I hate it. I hate it. That's true, because you see it happening on the continent consistently. But this is what Kwame Nkrumah.
Man who has led this new nation to independence, Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, Prime Minister of Ghana. After he had visited your country, John Gunther, the American writer, said that he thought Ghana had one of the greatest opportunities in the history of mankind. Now, would you agree with that?
I do, because this is an opportunity for the African to demonstrate to the world that the African, given the chance, can manage his own affairs.
And can you live up to this chance, do you think?
I think we are prepared to live up to this opportunity. We have had 5 years of what we call internal self-government. And now we are going into a period of complete independence and sovereignty. And with the experience we have had, I'm quite sure that we shall be able to live up to this opportunity.
Yeah. Right after that, there was a coup. Here's his address that he made.
We live in a world of contradictions. These contradictions, however, keep the world going. Let me explain what I mean. Ghana is a small but very dynamic, independent African state. We are trying to reconstruct our economy and to build a new, free, and equal society. To do this, we must attain control of our own economic and political destinies. Only thus can we create higher living standards for our people and free them from the legacies and hazards of a colonial past and from the encroachments of neo-colonialism. We live in a world of contradictions.
And he's right. I'm telling you. Kwame Nkrumah. Osagyefo. But there are many other leaders. And to me, I may go over on this one, but I got to find this for us. This is a great piece. I'll find it after the break. We come back from the break. I'll have that piece. And, you know, there's no doubt about, as you look at the continent, you're hoping that leadership comes to the fore and that leadership is supported, and that if anybody tries to usurp that leadership, any tries to undermine that leadership, you're asking that, you know. I want to talk to Mama Nabantu. Mama Nabantu, good morning. It's still morning time. Good morning, Mama Nabantu.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Happy belated birthday to you.
All right, thank you.
No doubt,
thank
no
you.
Doubt. And also, too, want to let our listeners and those who are, you know, interested in what's happening with the Pan-African Federalist Movement, what's happening with the youth, with Brother Sam Collins, the work that he's doing. So I would love for somebody to come on himself and talk about that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, we had a vibrant conversation Monday evening, and several of our local members I invited to come, and it was very good in terms of using the same language in terms of defining terms like federalism, capitalism, socialism, nationalism. And we see that it's important that we're on the same page in terms of the language when we're out, you know, recruiting our people to join up with the PAFN. So it was, you know, it was only for 1 hour, so we couldn't really go further than that.
Oh, so that was that was literally an impactful hour, for sure.
It was. It was very, very impactful. So I hope you can show up next week. He's got a setup that if you want to come in, start next week, you can't miss any more for the next 5 sessions.
Right, right. So that's going to be tough. Cause I'm going to be out of town a couple times. So, but I would love to have Sam or somebody come on to talk about, you know.
I have Sam. I'll have him come on.
Okay.
See what this Friday.
When is it? Is it next Wednesday?
Every Monday at 7.
Oh, every Monday. Well, if you want to have him come on this Friday, that'll be great.
So give him a call.
Yeah, have him come on this Friday. If he can come on this Friday, so we can talk about it on Monday, or even come on Monday to talk about it.
Right.
I know it's Monday evening, you know, but definitely want to promote it, want to get people involved, particularly the youth, you know.
That's where we're going, we need these study sessions are crucial to moving forward.
Yes.
Because if you don't understand, you just can't join a group and that's it. You got to know what you're joining and what it's about.
Right.
And how you fit in.
Yeah. How you fit in and why this group is so necessary, especially in today.
Right.
You know, because we live in a society that is, that promotes and perpetuates individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. This is America. Individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. And what we want to do is instill in our youth the idea of communalism and work and working together in establishing stuff. That's what we want to do, you know? So, yeah. So let's get together and let's do that, Mama Nabantu. Okay?
Okay, I'll call it right now. All right.
All right, dear.
Okay.
Peace.
Mm-hmm. Take care.
Okay. Mama Nabantu, who is the chairperson of the North American, part of the Pan-African Federalist Movement, which is a worldwide movement family, and got some good folks in the on the continent that are doing good work, as well as other parts of us in the diaspora who are doing good works. And it's all about doing good works. Because it's going to be deep. Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and play us some music. Yeah, play us some music. And when we come back from that, we'll continue the conversation. I'm going to also find that information that I want to share with you. With the African leaders, particularly from the brother from Burkina Faso, and what they're doing. You know, we got to, family. I mean this. We got to support them. We cannot just sit back and see and look from afar of what they're doing in Africa and not saying, how can we support them? Is it something monetarily? Is it something physically? Spreading the word, whatever it is. But they must be supported, because if they're isolated, the Urugu will take them out. You know it, and I know it. Okay? All right. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network. on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
We'll be right back.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. War. Slipping into darkness. Pretty soon you're going to pay. War. That was a good album, man. I tell you. All Day Music. Should have played that one. Play that next time. Yeah. Because music is what we like to play. Brother Ayo Kamathi, the Irritated Genie. New book. Jews Are the Problem, Too. The Psychology of the Jew. And Jews Are the Problem, Too. The Psychology of the Jew. A new book signing is going to be at the Terra Cafe on Saturday, August 3rd at 3 o'clock in Baltimore. And we'd like to get him on the program to talk about this, other things that are happening. Yeah. So, be looking forward to that. Looking forward to it, man, I'm telling you. Yeah. Okay, let me take a call. Brother Lus, good afternoon. How you doing, dear brother? How are you?
Blessings, Hotep, Brother Oshi. I have on the phone with me from Michigan, Brother Michael Jackson.
Yes.
I'd like to go ahead on and go first
give
a little debriefing on our activity of the Ma'afa commemoration here in Montgomery, Alabama.
Okay, please do. Please do.
Hey, brother, how you doing?
I'm Brother Jackson. How are you, sir? Good.
Pretty good. So we just wanted to report out to let everyone know that the Montgomery Ma'afa was a success. This was our 13th year. We had roughly 50 plus attendees.
Good.
Dressed out in white.
All right.
Honoring the ancestors.
Yes, sir.
People traveled in from Birmingham, Tuskegee, Montgomery, and all other points of Alabama. So it was a great showing. Another year of honoring the ancestors and continuing what we have laid the foundation of.
I say. Beautiful.
Educating the culture. Educating the community about our culture and honoring the ancestors in the process.
Right on. Beautiful. That's outstanding. Outstanding. Hopefully next year will be even better and more attendance.
Yes, sir.
Not just from across
the
state of Alabama, but from this region and maybe in elsewhere. So, you know, we got to make these connections. We got to connect, you know, with whatever we're doing across the country that inspires African people. We got to connect. So, outstanding. Yes, I appreciate it. All right, Brother Lusk.
All right, Baba Oshi, thank you so very much for picking our call to allow us to report in. It was a beautiful occasion to be able to love ourselves. As a matter of fact, I'm going to again refer to Dr. Bruce Bridges' book, Recapturing the African Mind.
Yes.
We tore off the front cover, right? Because we had an opportunity to not only love ourselves, but love each other. We had a brother that was tremendous that came in, Brother Elijah from Huntsville, Alabama, with his drumming skills and ability, as well as Kapawea. Michael is a Kapawista as well. And so we had a cultural experience that was enjoyed by all. And I think for me, our processional really was a good key. We started at the Montgomery Slave Market's marker.
Okay.
And proceeded up Commerce. This was the area where they sold enslaved Africans for various prices, right? And so we walked up towards Commerce Street in Montgomery towards the EJI, the initial EJI building, which housed enslaved Africans there. And so for me, my experiences was that here we had an opportunity to walk from where they were sold to where they were stored, right? And at the same time, get the essence of what it's like for them to depart those ships, those vessels that carried them up the Alabama River and dock right there on Commerce Street for them to come off there and meet us at that single point. And so that was my experience in essence that I take back with me for this 13th year and looking for 13 more. I'm still excited.
Right on, brother. Yes, I can feel you. I feel your spirit, man. And you and Michael Jackson, outstanding.
Thank you so very much.
And thank you. No, thank you for honoring our ancestors, particularly at a place where that is truly a holy place. That's holy ground for what has happened to us at that particular market. So thank you, brothers and sisters in Montgomery, Alabama. Thank you, Brother Luss, for your leadership.
You're
man.
So very welcome, sir.
All right,
thank
my
you.
Brother. Peace to you.
All right.
All
peace,
right.
Peace.
Yeah. Outstanding. Outstanding. It's about 50 people in white and there to drumming and to honor the ancestors in a solemn. You know, yes, we can have some parts of it where we're kind of jovial, but really it is truly solemn because, you know, we were taken. You know, when you look at, talk to what Baba Barudi does with Kibuka, you know, the coffer lines and, you know, marching us from the interior and into areas to the shore where the dungeons are. There ain't no damn castle. You know, I my first time in Ghana back in 96, you know, wow, it's a long time ago now. Okay. But, you know, hearing this man talk about castles, and I understand what he's saying and who he's saying it to. It's not just for us, but for Caucasians who come there. But I had to correct his ass, especially when I was in Elmina. So these are not castles, man. These are dungeons. Do you not feel the spirit of our ancestors in them dungeons, in that little small ass, little small ass room with just a little window for air? Don't you, man? Yeah. So right on, Brother Ted Lusk and Brother Michael Jackson for a beautiful once again program to honor our ancestors. And yeah, we'll have time next year to talk more about the 14th annual and maybe be able to do something about it for sure. Brother Irv, how you doing, dear brother?
I'm doing good, Baba Oshie. How are you? You sounding great, brother.
Well, thank you, man. And so are you, man.
Appreciate brother that was just on, Brother Ted Lusk. I was chomping at the bit because I wanted to say he was walking on sacred ground,
yes,
and he
yes.
had a spiritual experience walking in the same footsteps, in the same ground that our ancestors walked. Our
yes.
slaves, enslaved, the people who they were trying to enslave were more than likely walking that same route on those and that same piece of earth. So it had to be a spiritual,
yes.
more of a spiritual thing than
yes.
anything else. I commend him, man. He said something about the procession. Of course, we're familiar with processions because as firefighters at
right.
our convention, we march from usually to City Hall or past City Hall or
right.
something like that, just to give the imagery of so the young American Africans can see working black masculine men mm-hmm. taking care of their families and doing the right thing and holding down a job, protectors. And this imagery mm-hmm. is very important because
yeah.
we're conditioned by what we see. And that's why them walking that walk on that sacred holy ground was interestingly amazing. I went to the slave dungeons in Gambia, Senegal, and I have a picture, man.
It's Gory Island. Yes, deep, ain't it?
Gory, that's where I went. I went to Gory Island, and I actually teared up, man, because I could feel my ancestors mm-hmm. calling me, and I really did, and I thought I was losing my mind for a second, mm-hmm. but it is really a spiritual thing, man,
yes.
and it's individually spiritual.
Yeah.
You know, I'm that big collective guy. We got to do things together, but when that spirit hits you, it don't hit the group, it hit me. the group still hee-hee and ha-ha, and there was nothing funny about these dungeons. It was nothing.
No.
It was the sign of the door of no return. That didn't get a chuckle out of me, man. That was serious, because these people were given their lives, and a lot of them not knowing. A lot of the children were going with their parents. A lot of the parents had made decisions out of fear. And they never got to come back to their homeland. The only image they had was the one inside their head. So that what they're doing to keep that because you're not going to see this down CNN or MSNBC. You know, they love you so much. You're never going to see that.
No,
you're never
going to
see the drummers. You're never going to hear this type of subject matter, because this does not put the European Erugu in a beautiful light. It shows Erugu for who Erugu was and it gonna be, because they are a people who have to dominate someone. Mm-hmm. They have to put someone down in order to lift themselves up. But what they don't understand is they can't rise any higher than the condition of the people they're trying to hold down.
That's right.
Amen. Amen just means you agree. They just trying to, and you trying to keep me in a cage, brother. You got to stay in a cage too.
Mm-hmm.
So we both in a cage. What are you trying to do? But what happened to Baba Oshi was it got out of hand, and it went for centuries.
Yeah.
You know, when you do something for centuries, you condition the people to hate themselves, and that's where we are now. He said it was love, and Baba Oshi, him saying that was huge.
Yeah.
That was huge when he said it was so much love there. I'm like, wait, black people, ain't we going to fight? Because the TV said it's black on black crime. Ain't we supposed to be fighting and stuff? I said, but we weren't fighting. We were loving each other.
Yes.
We were understanding where we fit in this world. Because it's very important to know where you fit in, Baba Oshi. Mm-hmm. Because I truly didn't believe that I was African. I didn't believe that I had anything to do with Africa. I don't see African here. All the African they show me is not nothing to look at.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but once I realized and got knowledge of self and got conscious and understood that this has all been a fraud, brother.
Mm-hmm.
It's all been a fraud to perpetuate someone else's so-called wealth.
Yeah.
But these Caucasians ain't got no wealth. If I'm telling you, Marcus Garvey had it right. Let's get on and leave.
Let's just leave. Let's do it.
And I guarantee you, Baba Oshi, these white folks would have got in boats and followed us to bring us back, because they feel as though they can't exist without us. In actuality, they can't exist without Africa, and they know that.
Yep.
They can't exist.
Yeah.
They everybody wants it. Nobody wants to pay for it. Like you say every day.
Yep.
It's really interesting, Baba Oshi.
Well, let me go back to Brother Ted Luss. He's still on it. Just jump back on the line, Brother Ted.
Yeah, just to add on to Brother Irv as well. In that process of loving, we had an opportunity to do a kind of depositing white carnations within the Alabama River, and there was a sister out of Tuskegee that gave us libations there. Oh, I tell you the truth, man, this was the essence of learning and living and loving, and Saturday, July 13th was beautiful.
Right
it was
on.
Hot, yes, it was hot, but we have more than enough water, we have more than enough ice to secure the people who were there, and so thank you again for taking my call, always listening and learning to you as well as others on this program.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Lush, man. Thank you so much. My God.
You're welcome.
I know.
Oh, man. Oh, man. I wish I'll be there next year.
Hey, man. That's how I'll be there. We should do that, man. We should do that.
Really put that on the calendar, man. That's not a hard one. That's an easy one.
That's an easy one, man. That's a good drive.
Yeah.
Let me see my sister.
We can get there.
My sister, Habia. Good afternoon.
Idea.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, my sister.
Enjoying, you know, feeling lots of joy and love and power with the program today. And, you know, I was touched by what the brother was saying about, you know, their their celebration and their memorial and honoring of our great ancestors. And mm-hmm. you know, and I was echoing what you were saying, Bob Oshie, about how we experienced that with Kibuku.
Mm-hmm. With, yes.
Baba Ruti, and also Mama Marimba. And you know, she emphasizes the spiritual warfare.
Yes.
And so that's one of our great tools. Mm-hmm. And when you were talking earlier about the 2025 issues and how are we going to deal with it? I think that's a very serious situation, and we need to really approach it. So mm-hmm. if you were saying one major tactic that we should employ is Exodus, and so what measures are we taking for the Exodus? I mean, if we should all have passports, have we picked out our land, have we saved the money, you know, how are we going to execute yeah. that tactic? That's one. And also there's plenty, there'll be, we can't all go at the same time. I mean, there still will be some, you know, some of us will be here, and what do we do here? And I think that's important, because I don't have a defeatist feeling about it, attitude that they're just going to win, they're just kill us, and we can't do nothing. Because I believe in the victory of our cause. I believe we can. We have to employ all our different modalities, and they don't. They lost a lot. They may win one some, but they just lost one. They lose a lot. They won the Civil War was won because of the Africans. You know, they rose together to fight them off. Hmm. And then how did you say we don't call it Haiti? We call it Haiti now. What did you say?
Haiti. Haiti.
Say what?
Haiti.
Haiti.
Yeah. But
now
look at
our African demarcation. Now we won. We did the impossible. I mean, what you may say is impossible, but it's not really impossible. I mean, they kicked the Frenchies behind, and one of their modalities was spiritual warfare.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. we have to embrace Let me say this,
sister.
Fight them spiritually.
Let me say this, sister. What?
Yes.
Bookman Duty said to
Bookman
when Bookman said what he said to those brothers and sisters, he should say it today, and we should say it today. Throw away the white man's God, and you will be free. Not that you could be free. Not that you might be free. Not just possibly be free. No, you will be free. Throw that shit away.
I say.
Bookman duty.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, to the bookman. So listen, family, we're going to have a good day today. I know it is. I got my good brother Irv, who co-hosted with me this past Monday. It's always a pleasure. Sister Abia, Brother Lust, Mama Nabantu, and so many others. Appreciate it and love. Yep. I'm going to play a piece, family. Just be patient. And this is I was debating, because I'm playing stuff that people send me. And this was a piece that I thought that was Burkina Faso's leader, Ibrahim Touré, delivers unforgettable message in English. It's a little long. It's about 12 minutes, but it's on point. And what I was saying earlier about Burkina Faso, about Mali and Niger and what they have formed, we have to make sure that that happens. We as Africans throughout the diaspora and truly Africans on the continent has to make sure that they're successful. And anybody that try to form a coup and take them cats out, we kill them on the spot. We kill them. Nobody should try to raise any objection to what they're trying to do to control their resources and their land, because that's what we should be about. Here you go, family.
Of Niger, your role is important. Today, because of the ongoing and devastating war, the imperialistic forces have tried to tear our unified and strong society apart, completely and utterly annihilate us. and make sure that we can never lift our heads again and are forced to submit forever. However, the effect that they are expecting or hoping for will, unfortunately, never come to pass because the required conditions and circumstances simply do not exist. Because instead, this war has come to bond us, unite us, and more than ever, we remain standing. And we tell them that we will never cry, and we will never kneel before anyone again, no matter what happens in any situation. This war that has been imposed on us has united us. It is in this war that AES was born. AES will change the history of Africa, will change the history of the world. You here are indeed the privileged witnesses of all the harm these people do to our populations. Since July 26th until today, you have experienced the sufferings and hardships inflicted on the Nigerian people in particular, and all the peoples of the U.S. through inhumane sanctions. But it brought us even closer together and helped us understand why we must fight and support each other in this journey. And that's the most important thing. I want to congratulate you, those of you who are not in the country, who are far away. And today, due to social media, which has both positive and negative aspects in our lives in various ways, I can truly imagine how much your suffering must really be to have to imagine what can reality be, what's a lie. You hear all kinds of news. You suffer more than those in the country. But I think that, with God's will, this evening we have a few minutes. We will have, in any case, exchanged freely on many themes, and also, and especially any grievances you may have, because these are the same realities that we now share with our brothers in Niger. So, be thanked once again, because despite being away from the motherland, you have always indeed significantly contributed, and truly through all of you in the diaspora, to the Patriotic Support Fund. To continue giving a boost to the brave and tirelessly fighting forces who battle day and night and relentlessly on the ground, the entire homeland thanks you for these gestures you make day and night in appreciation. When I carefully listened to what you were saying, I came to the realization that you had a complete and thorough understanding of the entire maneuver. There were no complaints. There were no concerns raised. This shows that you truly understand the essence of the struggle. Thank you again. Thank you to those who are spreading this message. Thank you for being by our side, because that is the fuel we need. The courage we need to move forward is what you are giving us here. You understand the situation. There is no reason to get discouraged, to get tired, or to hang our heads. We will move forward. I will therefore make it my duty to keep you updated on the news from the country. As you have closely followed for several years now, we are being relentlessly attacked from all possible sides. Burkina Faso in particular, from east to west, from north to south, there were attacks everywhere, and we were being pushed back. Today we have been able to resettle a good number of villages and reopen many schools. In many areas, activities have resumed, and there is absolutely no area where our forces cannot set foot when they want to go there, anywhere at all. But despite this, in reality, you hear narratives from those who are referred to as imperialists or their local lackeys who happen to be with us. And they don't care whether an area has been recaptured or not. But when an area is lost, they get on their high horses, grab the loudspeakers, shout, and often make up all sorts of stories. We are victims of physical terrorism that manifests itself on the ground through cowardly assassinations of our people and barbaric and cowardly attacks. In addition to that, on a strategic level, there is terrorism, disinformation, and manipulation. You have experienced what has happened recently in Burkina Faso. I know that you have indeed been disturbed. Many people lacked information because, at times like these, everyone invents what they want. Maybe some media outlets you believe to be serious started relaying certain information. This proved to you that they are not serious media. They spend time manipulating Africans. But today, thank God, you have discovered that it is all false. It's manipulation. They take the information, manipulate it, and give you what they want. You have understood everything, and I think we no longer need to raise awareness about this. Unfortunately, these people will always find house Negroes who will always find ways to manipulate and control and will do everything in their power to ensure that their desires are met. And that is what we are experiencing as well. I know you are following it. Unfortunately, some Burkinabés have once again withdrawn to neighboring ivories and are pulling strings with the imperialists to try to destabilize our country again. But it's a lost cause. We have taken a path. We are moving forward. We will never look back.
I say.
The pressure is increasing everywhere in the AES regarding terrorist attacks. You can follow. The forces are vigilantly keeping watch, and we continue to fight steadfastly. But we can assure you of one thing, with determination. Fighting is one thing, but the other was that we were in a situation that didn't even allow us to be free in our actions. Thank God today, no one can stop us from getting equipped wherever we want. No one comes to design maneuvers with us. The general staffs think as they wish and conduct their operations. We buy our aircraft where we want and use them as we want. No one can restrict us. To fly over a part of the territory where no one will come during our operations to forbid us from accessing an area. All this happened before. Check with the FDS who maneuvered with these imperialist forces that were here. That is why we say that independence is now, and the battle is just beginning. Some individuals have long taken the liberty to explain to widows or even to the wives of still active soldiers that there is certainly a way to negotiate with terrorists and that we undoubtedly and absolutely refuse to negotiate with terrorists. First of all, we will not negotiate. We are definitely going to fight. Let that be clear to everyone. We see some who take great pleasure in frequently appearing on TV shows. We don't know where they learn their strategy, security experts of I don't know what, and saying, no, we need to dialogue. That's the term they finally found instead of negotiating, dialoguing. Dialoguing with whom? If they know him, let them send him to us. As far as I know, we opened the door by creating the call center. If he wants to lay down his arms, let him call and lay down his arms. We will see what to do for him. Burkina Faso must definitely be a forbidden destination for those mercenaries. And we will fight across the entire AES space to liberate our lands and to be able to thrive. They spent time making us understand that we are indeed poor. Every year, you see the results. So Niger is second to last. Burkina Faso is what number? That's what's happening. And they like to rank countries from the richest to the poorest. And it's us, the poorest countries, the Sahelian countries. We ended up fighting over the scraps. We took responsibility. We told you to leave our country. We will organize and develop ourselves. Yet, you say you are not leaving. I can't understand. If we are poor, we have nothing. But leave. Let us be. We will work. Why don't you leave? It's not clear then. There's something down there. There's Angisu Roche. Since 1968, let's take the case of Niger. They exploit uranium. But Niger has no electricity. Yet Paris, the city of light. That's normal. But leave us alone. We will develop. We will manage with our uranium too. We will know what to do. For years here in Burkina, they have been mining gold everywhere. You don't even have a good road to access the gold site. Why? Now we know exactly how to exploit gold. I don't know why we even give permits to multinationals from those countries. We will exploit our gold ourselves. We have already started. We will begin. We will do it. We are still in the process of reorganizing and equipping the army. We have not yet reached the level we want. But we are controlling the situation, we are staying the course, and we are going to ramp up because the equipment will come, the numbers will increase, We are going to fight. That is certain. We may suffer, but we need a bit of patience, that's all. Because the situation has significantly deteriorated so much over several years. We must go with great force so that it cannot come back later. When we resolve it, it's once and for all, permanent. We are gathering everything necessary and essential needed to open the different and various routes that connect the states of the AES. And they are fighting to prevent these routes from opening. Because AES is a nightmare for them, it must not happen. We must not integrate in any way at all. However, we will ultimately defeat them in the end. In any case, you have waited a lot. I can't write about all the topics. But know one thing, on all fronts, battles are indeed being fought. You are the guarantors of what will be written tomorrow. It's you. They should do everything to ensure that we never go back. It's not even possible. It's a point of no return, as Colonel Goita said last time. And we count on you. Be in solidarity with your Nigerian brothers. Be ambassadors of Burkina Faso here. This solidarity must be expressed on all levels. We know what the Nigerian people are enduring. We are doing everything we can to lessen that suffering. The people have shown an impressive and enduring resilience, adapting and thriving despite significant challenges. Those who make us suffer like this, I bet their people cannot endure what the Nigerians have endured. They, too, would find it incredibly difficult to withstand the hardships and challenges that the Nigerians have faced. Hold on, stay united together, and as for us, we will spare no effort completely to ensure that the legitimate aspirations of our peoples are indeed fulfilled. That's why we are here. Hold on, and pass the message to the entire diaspora and the community to stay strong and stand tall. Because Burkina Faso is also about that. It's about those people who fought to leave us this land. And we have the duty to fight for the next generation. A big thank you for all
of you. Abibi Fahodie. Abibi Fahodie. Abibi Fahodie. Doesn't that sound good, family? Didn't that brother sound outstanding in the spirit of Thomas Sankara? In the spirit of all those revolutionary brothers and sisters? Didn't that sound great? And there's more to come.
Yes.
I mean, because I'm going to tell you, Nigeria is a huge piece. If they can get brothers and sisters in Nigeria, because they were resistance to the discussions about 20-some 30 years ago. They didn't want to deal with it. And I'm like, you know, the most intelligent brothers and sisters on the continent are the Nigerians. The strongest brothers on the continent with a lot of the resources is Nigerian. Well, of course, the country with the most resources is logical. That's in the middle of the country, and that is the Democratic Republic of the Congo. The Congo is, filled. So, but the bottom line is these movements must continue. They must persist, and they must be successful long term. And by that, we got to make sure that nobody comes in there to manipulate and undermine what is happening. And if there is someone that does it, deal with him swiftly.
Mm-hmm.
Deal with them justly, you know.
That's it. So,
yeah. Man.
That's it.
When that great man, that was beautiful, family.
Oh, that was, yeah. That was, I needed that in my psyche. That blue fills my tanks for a couple of days, for a week. I needed that.
Yeah,
I'm so serious. I'd heard most of it, but yeah, I really needed that.
Yeah, that's
oh
a piece.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a piece from Brother Kwaku. Brother Kwaku sent that.
Sure.
Yeah.
There's one part he said, Baba Oji, I'm not going to repeat it, but he did say one thing, and it sticks with me in every ounce of my DNA. We cannot go back.
Yes.
We cannot go back. Once we start down this road, mm-hmm. it's a life journey. It's a lifestyle. We are uninstalling that program, and we're installing an African operating system. And so therefore it applies to every aspect of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from the food you eat to the clothes you wear to the name you call yourself is African.
Yes.
To how you even rationalize and reason about things, it's African. And so you must learn, have knowledge of self to learn who you are, where you're from, who your ancestors are, and teach your children in an African way.
In an African
way.
Oh,
my God.
Yes, it is, brother.
That's correct.
Yeah. Because that's what it has to come down to. Either we – listen, family, Brother Irvin, family. Either we do it or we perish. The model of this program, aside from talking about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty, is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. And that's serious. And I'm serious about that. If we don't do this, this is what's going to happen to us. So there is you don't have a damn choice. No.
The choice
is either you do it or you die. That's the choice, not what you're going to do. Yeah, what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I swear I do. Let me play this one with the brother right here. He says here is about integration. Yeah.
The 80% that were being left behind, they started to see that this integration, it's not working for us. We gave up all our businesses, but see, the people who own those businesses, who used to employ all those 80% of people because they couldn't get a job anywhere else, we used to hire each other. We were the number one employer of our own people, like every other group of people is today. Chinese to this day are the number one employers of other Chinese people. Mexicans are the number one employer of other Mexicans. You just go down the list. And it's been like that. And we used to also be the number one employers of other so-called black people. But they convinced us we need to integrate into their society, and we weren't doing good enough. We saw that it's only working for a small group of people. And what did they like to call those people back then? The sellouts, the ones who forgot, who left the community, the ones who moved out of the neighborhood into white society. So there started to become a divide, the 80% that were being left behind.
And he's right about that. See, that integration thing is not working. It was intended to. Was not intended to.
He's absolutely right.
Yeah.
He's absolutely right. Bob Oshie, when they moved, when Urugu moved low rent black people into projects, those were supposed to be temporary. That was not to be. They don't call them projects because they're permanent. They would have called them permanent. They called them projects because it was a project. Integration was a social experiment. Mm-hmm. And it didn't work. It worked for some people, basically the people, the Rugu, but it didn't work for American Africans.
Right.
In the long term, in the short term, we appeared to be just like them. The playing field was leveled. But Baba Oshie, as time went on, as generations came and left, we never acquired any wealth. We never acquired anything that was not connected to Urugu, that Urugu could take at any time, from your money to your job to your wife. Mm. And now he's coming for your children.
Yeah.
Baba Oshie, what he just said was so – we have to circle our wagons. And the brother said we can't go back, and we – all of us can't go to Africa at the same time. Some people ain't going at all, Baba Oshie.
Yeah.
Some people that's the furthest thing from their mind.
Exactly. You know, I can't argue with the creature comforts that America offers. I can't argue with all the technology and all the things that it has. But the point being, this is theirs, not ours. Now, if you want to be comfortable in their stuff and you just be meek and mild and just shut the hell up and go along to get along and you want that, that's fine. That's fine for you. You know. But if you want to develop for you and your people, you know, where you have the safeguards, knowing that you are in control of your destiny, you are in control of your land, you are in control of your resources, you are in control of your family, then you can't move here. You can't move in that direction, in that kind of direction here. You got to get the hell up out of here, you know. So it's deep.
We got to go. Yeah, it's deep.
Yeah, it's eventually. Deep. Yeah, we eventually. Go. Eventually. Here's another piece. Here's another piece about the importance of Africa. I'm playing this piece.
The most dangerous situation is in Africa.
The most dangerous situation is in Africa, because of course Africa is absolutely the most important continent on the planet. The most important continent to the planet. And the next most important, and therefore the next most at-risk region, is the Middle East. The Middle East and Africa power the whole global economy. They power everything that makes so-called modern life possible. It's all made possible by the Middle East and Africa. And if the West was an actually civilized civilization, that would mean that peace and stability in the Middle East and in Africa should be of paramount importance. Good relations and harmonious dealings and so on, that would be the priority if they were civilized people. But of course, the West is not civilized. And if you have something that they need, if you have something that they want, then they do not see you as a friend. They don't see you as a friend that they want to be close to and have good relations with. They see you as an enemy that they want to subjugate. They see the world in a predator-prey paradigm. The most dangerous...
That's right. They see it as a predator and prey paradigm. Take
predator,
your stuff.
Predator, prey, paradigm.
That's right. Take your stuff. Brother Jay. Brother Jay, good afternoon.
Hey, what's happening? Oh, see, I just tuned in, so I didn't really get a chance to check out what's the show.
Yeah.
What you talking about today?
We're talking about a number of things. People have called in with great things that they are doing. Brother Lust talked about the ancestral program that they had in Montgomery with a lot of brothers and sisters from the state of Alabama converging on them, and the processional that they had and so forth. We're talking about things that people sent me. That's what I'm playing. These are some things that people have sent me that I feel that are on point, you know. In fact, let me play this. Let me play this Richard Maddow piece again for the last time. Okay, Jay, hold on, because you got a lot of background noise, bro, ham. You got a lot. Irv, you all that background noise, man?
Yeah, I thought it was Jay and the Temptations moving back. KC and the Sunshine Band.
Yeah. So let me play this piece again here. Yep. Here we go, family.
It's true that not understanding how old 81 years old looks sometimes is maybe a Democratic Party mistake. But Democrats are not the party that picked the guy whose charity was shut down as a fraud, whose fake university was shut down as a fraud, whose business was convicted on multiple felony fraud counts, whose CFO is quite literally in jail, who had one personal lawyer put in prison and the other has lost his law license, who has been charged under the Espionage Act for whatever this is that he was doing with highly classified documents, including, reportedly, nuclear secrets, who was found liable by a jury for sexual assault, who has been charged with more than a dozen felonies under a RICO indictment in the state of Georgia, and who really has been found guilty by another jury of 30-plus felonies for which he is now awaiting a possible prison sentence. That's who you guys picked. I love that the worry in this instance is that the Democrats might have made a bad choice for their nominee. Only in America. It's true that...
Yep, only in America. Were you this asshole? All that you've heard, and there's a lot more. Once he's elected, he will pardon himself and be excused from all this. Already the judge he appointed, she exonerated him of the situation in Mar-a-Lago with all the documents.
The documents, yeah.
You know, and that's bogus, and that's bull. Look at this man took all them documents. Who knows what he has already sold to the adversaries of this country? Who knows? This man is a danger. Donald J. Trump is a danger. And just as she said in an earlier piece, that he don't really want elections. He said it back in 2016, the election is a fraud, even though he won. You know, because what he wants to be is president or dictator for life, like his other buddies, like Kim Jong-un, like from Turkey. Erdogan.
Hey, you know? Hey, Opie.
Yeah.
Listen, bro. the issue boils down to this. White people in the position to place him in office agree with his foolishness and his nonsense. The thing that they don't understand is that the policies that they wish for him to implement to hurt black people or people of color are gonna hurt them any gonna hurt them worse. Because these white trash idiots have no position in this country. See, the thing is, they think they have a position in the country, but the only position they have is being used. So if you don't understand that you're being used, then you're a fool. It's nothing I can do about it. Classic point. You got white folks who are backing Trump that are getting a discount for Biden on their insulin.
Yeah.
That is now getting $35 a month. Now check this out. When Trump get into office, he gonna repeal that. So then the question becomes, what do you say now that you're gonna have to pay more money and you don't get the damn money?
Yeah.
So how do you justify that type of ignorance and stupidity? The only way you could justify it is to put the narrative out there that this is what's gonna happen to you. The tragedy is the Democrats don't know how to do it.
Well, we'll
or
see.
They don't do it.
They don't
because
do it.
You
we'll
know
see.
What the truth of the matter is, OC? They agree with this shit.
No, they believe
in whiteness.
Well,
they
no. Oh, yeah, they agree with whiteness.
They want to have a certain degree of power that comes with whiteness.
Yeah.
That's
they want to maintain
that.
They want to maintain and sustain that. There's no doubt about it. All right, Jay. Thank you, bro.
All right.
Brothers and sisters. We're, go ahead.
Interesting perspective. Very interesting perspective that Jay has on that. You said before, Baba Oshie, that these are two wings of the same bird.
Exactly.
You know, just like you're talking about brethren. When you talk about fighting my brethren, I'm going to send money to Israel. I'm going to send money to the Ukraine. Those are my brethren. But did you send any money to Africa? Mm-hmm. Are they your brethren? Did you send any money to stop the neo-colonialism that's going on in Africa? No, because you're the one that's doing it, United States.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they kicked them out of Burkina Faso. They kicked them out of Nigeria, the U.S. and France.
Right.
Yeah, right. But that's not on the news. I didn't see that on the news. That's on the internet is the trump card, Baba Oshie. But the more information, the clearer this becomes. And listening to the show like this, the things you just played, it can't get any clearer than that, Baba Oshie, that Africa has to stay poor for the rest of the world
to
fly on jets and go in yachts and have outings and go to beach. They have to stay poor.
Well, let me just say this, and I understand what you're saying, and Europeans and others are like that. They don't give a damn. The Indians from India, they don't give a damn. The Koreans mm-hmm. don't give a damn. Even though the Chinese have done some things, but really, essence, they don't give a damn. I've heard and read some stuff about the Chinese and what they're doing in Africa, aside from building some roads and some other things that they have done, which is cool, but they don't do anything out of the goodness from a humanitarian standpoint of their heart, out of their hearts. So there is some return. And for us as African people, for those of us who have the expertise in management and leadership and knowledge of things, we need to say to the cracker later. You know, I know you paid me $250,000 and this, that, and the other, but now I realize my true talent, my true ability, and my worthiness as a man to rescue and restore and recover for African people, my presence to be on the continent, helping brothers and sisters on the continent. You know, I want us to be more like when we understand all of this, I want us to be that we are protectors. Not like we were when we came to Liberia in the 1800s, because many of us had white blood in us and we had straighter hair, or we processed our hair, or we put that hot comb on our hair and had some features looking like some Caucasians. That's bull. And so we had an idea that we were better than them. And then later the Liberians felt they were better than us because they weren't enslaved. They were colonized, you know, they were taken, but still all this is superficial. All this is superficial then and truly now. And so the deal is to embrace one another, to share with one another, to educate one another. They should be right now developing schools on the continent to help with agriculture, to help with construction, management, whatever management it is, and science. Everything is needed. We have a continent with all these resources, more resources than any place else on the damn planet. And yet we're not in a position. Reason why I read that from Kwame Nkrumah, because he saw that vision. Many of African leaders saw that vision, like the brother from Burkina Faso now. He sees that vision. But when others saw it, they were killed. Patrice Lumumba.
Right.
And they were killed by us through the manipulation of Europeans. And I'm saying, if any of us do that, we have a public-ass execution on live TV globally of this son of a bitch who's working with France, who's working with whoever, who's working with the CIA and so forth to undermine us. We killed their ass. Because
traitor.
We have to
erase.
Yep. Because the bottom line for us now, if we are to be a people in the future, and if we are to have a future, and look like we got to have a future because we have the youngest population, Brother Irv, we have the youngest population on the planet.
On the planet.
Yes.
That's correct.
You know? We got to prepare a future for these young brothers and sisters. And they must understand that they're part of that, so to work with us. So it ain't about rap. It ain't about...
No.
Showing your ass. It ain't about nothing. It is about management. It is about education. It is about doing for self. I don't give a damn about basketball and football. I often said that if you show me that we are moving in the right direction, and if we're moving in the right direction, what I got to give up is this, this, and this, I'd give up this, and this. I'd give it up in a heartbeat.
Yeah. That's right.
You know,
that's right.
Because just like what I read in the Inyasa Sim this morning to start the program, there are some of us who are willing to make that sacrifice. They know that help is needed in our community, and they do it without seeking nothing in return. They don't want no damn praise and glory. They don't want. I mean, if you recognize me with a certificate, so what? Fine, I appreciate that. Now, I really do, and I'm not discounting that. But I did it because it was the right thing to do. It's just like integrity. You do it even when no one's looking. You do it. So
no, it's not what you do. It's why you do it.
Yes.
Why do you do it? You know how when sisters put on a hair piece in their hair, maybe her hair is falling out.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe she got alopecia or have cancer. Yeah. It's why you do it. But some of these folks, you know, they wearing pink hair and yellow hair.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, you know, brothers, that time on, it's the clock on the wall. Yeah, brother. Appreciate you. Yep. Appreciate you and all those who called.
Appreciate you.
You bet. Love you too, dear brother. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko, and they're ringing more true today than any other time. The words of Stephen Biko, the most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. I hope to see you on Friday. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi for Hodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. See you on Friday, family. Peace.
Great show, Baba.
All right. Thank you, dear brother.